This program is sponsored by Walter Anderson Nursery.
If you have a green thumb or have always wanted one, then get ready for Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery, hosted by Ken Anderson, along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. Garden Talk aims to introduce new ideas, help solve problems, and keep you up to date on the latest developments in the nursery and landscaping industry. Call in now with your gardening questions. 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. Now, here are your Garden Talk hosts, Ken, David, Mark, and George.
Good morning, San Diego. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson, along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. Good morning, guys.
Good morning, fellas. How are we?
I'm good.
Good morning.
I'm good.
Good morning. Good morning.
A crystal clear morning this morning.
Yeah, it was weird weather this week, wasn't it?
It was strange.
Cool.
It was strange. We were down in Point Loma for dinner on Thursday night.
Yeah.
And we were sitting outside on a deck, and man, as soon as the sun went down, everything lit up.
Yeah.
We didn't get any rain where we were. Nope. Not a drop, but we could see the electrical storm all around us and moving from the south up to the north.
That was really cool.
It was pretty impressive.
Rained pretty hard at my house for a short period of time.
I was going to say, we left Point Loma. We were driving home about 8:45. We left at 8:45 and we were driving back to Scripps Ranch, and it was dry all the way out the 8. And got on the 163, and about halfway up the 163, it was wet.
Yeah.
And then you got up just past, got up to around Miramar Road. It was bone dry, and not a drop of rain at our house.
Yeah,
it was very bizarre.
Yeah.
Very bizarre. You know, that's beautiful. Two big electrical storms within, a week
of
each other?
Pretty cool.
2 weeks of each other? Yeah, pretty wild.
I went to Del Mar yesterday morning to walk the beach with some of my children, and there was evidence of a lot of water.
Oh yeah,
it come down. Yeah, it was definitely looked wet as you were driving out that way.
Yeah, pretty wild. I was talking to my mom about it though, and for some reason, and I don't know if it's just my bad memory or not, but I thought as a kid we got more thunderstorms in San Diego than we have over the past few years, because we've gone years now where we haven't had a thunderstorm in San Diego, in the coastal or inland part of San Diego.
Right.
But I could have swore as a kid that we had them more often. But I don't know.
Yeah, I don't remember.
I remember sitting at the beach as a kid and looking east and seeing the big thunder heads to the east. And
over the mountains.
Remembering
them
being, yeah.
Well, there were big ones yesterday. I don't know if anything happened.
No, they went east.
Yeah, it was pretty wild. Let's see. Do you know what the classes are by chance?
No, you think I would know.
I do.
George does.
George.
Well, you guys have a composting class in San Diego at 9 a.m.
Kathleen,
right?
Kathleen's given. Yeah.
And we have Brian's going to teach a class on ornamental trees. We do a lot on fruit trees and roses and vegetables and fruit trees and roses and vegetables. Well, and this one's a little bit different.
Say, don't you typically think that ornamental trees are pretty useless?
No, well, I mean, in some ways, but the shade can be.
No,
shade...
he means you in particular.
I personally do.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, some have some value.
Oh, yeah, they do, but obviously, but still.
Right. Correct. They but yeah, so Brian's going to teach ornamental trees up at 9:30.
Very good.
The non worthless ones.
Right. Well, I mean,
with all due respect,
some sort of purpose. Shade. Hang a tree fort or put a tree fort or
well, you know, when I do the little tours of the nursery for kids,
mm-hmm.
we talk about trees, and we're standing out on the asphalt in the sun and it's hot, and I ask them what trees are good for, and they don't think about it until we walk
under
a tree.
A shade tree, yeah.
It makes a huge difference.
Yes,
it does.
That you go underneath that big tipu tipu ana and say, so notice the difference here.
Yes.
Yep.
It wasn't last week because I wasn't here last week, but the week before, John Clements from the San Diego Botanical Garden had called in and had mentioned the Bromeliad show that they have going on.
He mentioned it last week as
well. Oh, did he?
Yes.
Yeah, we spoke with him again
last
week.
But I begged him to call, so it was not him just calling.
Yeah.
Well, Melanie and I went
to
go see it. It's incredible. It
oh,
is
really?
Absolutely incredible. I would highly, highly recommend sometime between now and I think it's the 26th, go and see it. But they've completely changed the way the botanical garden is set up.
Oh, really?
You know, you used to go out Quail Gardens Drive and then you would turn left and you'd go up the hill to the parking lot. Don't do that anymore. You go past that driveway. That driveway is closed off. You go past that driveway and the conservatory is actually down by Quail Gardens Road.
Okay.
It's on the same level as Quail Gardens Road. And there's two big parking lots right next to the conservatory. And then when you go into the garden, you go in through the conservatory. The conservatory itself is amazing. I mean, it's really, really pretty. But what they've done with it and the plants that they've brought in are just phenomenal. I mean, it's...
Huh.
I can't describe it. I mean, you've got to go see it. It's well worth going to see. So.
It's an incredible collection and arrangement of those plants.
Yeah, it's phenomenal. So John, thank you very much for letting everybody know about that, and hopefully we'll get some people to come out and see it for you because it is definitely something to see.
The new driveway, or the new parking lot, is right off of the driveway that goes up to Ranch Pickup. Where we used
Is
to
it?
Go up. Yeah, well, it looks like it with the little gate at the top where we used to go to
pick up
the poinsettia.
See, I always thought Ranch Pickup was over by, I don't know that I ever went to Ranch Pickup, but I always thought Ranch Pickup was over by the old house.
It came off of whatever
off
that's.
Off of Quail Gardens, right?
Yeah, and you just go up and over the little hill, and the pickup greenhouse, the little store, was at the end of a greenhouse just right up over the crest of that driveway.
Well, for those of us who hadn't driven up there, what when you say pickup, what are you picking up? What was this place?
That was
kind of vague.
Kind of vague? It wasn't kind of vague.
It was very vague for the rest of us.
That is where we used to go get our equipoinsettias every year.
Okay.
When they weren't, stuff that wasn't delivered, we would go up there and pick it up. And then also at Ranch Pickup, they would have stuff that wasn't normally available. They'd have blocks of new hybrids or new colors that were not for
general
release yet. Okay. So we could get some interesting things that you normally wouldn't find. It was pretty neat. And I one year Melanie and I went up there for the trials, and that was incredible. That was in the greenhouses that were closest to the ranch house.
And that's a little vague. What do you mean by the trials?
It was where they had a bunch of new hybrids, a bunch of new colors, new forms, all in they're all just absolutely pristine plants, in huge tables of them.
All right.
It was something to see. It was really something to see, and unfortunately, that's
all gone.
All gone now.
Part of the history of San Diego.
Part of the history of San Diego. There's a hybridizer who's taken over that space now. I can't remember.
Duman.
Maybe it's Duman, but I think they were doing. I think they were growing mums. So it'll be interesting to see what comes out of that. Some of the stuff that's going on in the store right now, the corpse flower is looking, ours is looking pretty good. I guess you guys sold yours.
Oh, we did?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So, but ours looks really nice. It did not bloom this year.
But it's grown.
It's grown
tremendously.
Someone might say thankfully.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
I don't know.
Except the flies.
When it blooms, I will probably be displeased.
Right.
But
well, you would be pleased. I mean, to have it bloom is going to be neat, and then we take it outside and get and hide it for until it's done.
But it has really grown.
Well, when you consider how big the plant is compared to how big the tuber is that it grows from, it's pretty impressive because the tuber is what, maybe the size of a volleyball?
Not quite.
Not quite that big. But the trunk on that thing has got to be 4 inches across at the base.
Yes,
and it's tall right now. I think
it's got to be close to 10 feet.
Right,
it's touching the rafters up there now. I'm going to have to lower it down. I've given it more water this year. Almost every day I go pour water
on it. A little bit in it,
and
makes a difference.
I don't know.
Seems to.
I don't know. It is.
You guys, do you fertilizer or do anything with
it? Yeah, I put Grow Power planting tablets in it when I potted it, and then added some more a few weeks ago, and then I put some liquid fertilizer in the water. I've been having a great time overfeeding this thing until it takes over. I can feed me, Seymour. It's gonna take over.
As long as we don't kill it.
Yeah.
In the meantime. Bulbs are starting to come in. Bearded iris have started arriving, although we've thinned out quite a bit on
there. We did not get very many.
Yeah, I haven't been there, so I don't know exactly what we had.
See, Mark's kind of out of sorts, but
yeah,
he's discombobulated.
A little bit.
Because 1 week ago today, he was in Ohio. I remember it well. It was almost...
Weather was wonderful. Company was wonderful. It was all good.
Are we going to be getting a bunch more bulbs?
I hope so.
We are expecting, yes, the bulk of them has still not arrived, which is
very unusual, I would tell you that.
It's late.
Yeah, because you guys, the San Diego store has a bulb class next Saturday, today.
I didn't realize that they hadn't come in. Not that there's a whole lot I can do about it, but curious as to why.
Well, it probably has something to do with that.
Well, I know
company being this is this being their last season.
Correct.
Yeah,
correct.
Yeah, but we do have Dutch iris in. If you like saffron, you can grow your own saffron. We have saffron crocus in, which is there.
Are you going to tell us?
No, I'm not going to tell a story again.
Okay.
But I still chuckle. They're very easy to grow. It's a really nice looking plant as well.
It's very easy to grow. It looks good. It takes care of itself, and it takes a lot of effort and energy to get your saffron.
Probably everybody's favorite bulb. At least we sell more of them than we do anything else, I think, are paper whites.
Yes.
Those are available now. And we did have some alliums in stock, too. I don't think they're the giant ones, but they're nice ones.
Belladonnas, too. Didn't we get belladonnas at Poway? Yeah.
And you should have gotten some yesterday.
Okay. Naked ladies.
Yeah, so, I was out hiking this week.
I saw that on your Facebook thing.
And I got to see snakes, or a snake, big rattlesnake, beautiful rattlesnake, a dead toad, and naked ladies in full bloom along the trail.
Right.
They're not native, are they?
No, but at one end of the trail, there are the remnants of a house.
Okay.
And around that house are Amaryllis belladonna, also known as the naked lady, and Chasmanthi, both of which spread and grow very well here. The Chasmanthi has stayed around the house, but the belladonnas, there's a big cluster around the house, but 100 yards away around some other trees, there's a bunch of other ones, and there were different colors, some picotees, some darker colors. And I'm guessing birds or animals spread the seed.
Yeah.
And so we have hybrids growing, you know, out in the middle of nowhere, and they naturalize. They get no supplemental watering, no supplemental care other than what nature brings them. And I have pictures from a year ago, and they were in full bloom when I was up there. And I thought, it's been too dry, they're not going to bloom this year. And they are blooming now, but they're blooming a month late. And I don't know why. I was trying to figure that out. But we did get a little bit of rain. Maybe that's what triggered it. Yeah.
That could be. And that was at Miller Ranch Road?
Miller Ranch Road in the National Wildlife Refuge.
Where is that at?
Do you know where Steel Canyon High School is?
Vaguely.
It is at the base of Mount Miguel. That's probably Mount San Miguel.
Okay.
And it's a great, short, vigorous trail, although Ken and I, not you, took the less vigorous portion because it had been a long day. But the rattlesnake was just Southern Pacific rattlesnake. Beautiful.
That was a big snake.
Just hanging out alongside the trail.
Yeah. I wouldn't have been hanging out.
Yeah.
I'd have rolled down the hill. I would have been out of there.
Well, we were walking right past it because it's a fairly wide fire road there that we were on. And Ken's scream scared me. And we weren't going to be encountered by it. It was far enough away.
You telling that story.
But, well.
Was it a high-pitched scream?
It kind of was. But I wasn't going there with that. He exclaimed, scared me.
No, I hear you.
And it wasn't like we were walking up the trail and about to step on it.
It wouldn't have been the scream that would have, well, whatever.
Okay. Noted. Duly noted.
We need to take a quick break here with Garden Talk. You're listening to us on KCBQ and KPRZ. If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. We would love to talk to you. We'll be back with more Garden Talk right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
Got to the garden party, they all knew my name. No one recognized me, I didn't look the same. But it's alright now, I learned my lesson well. You see, you can't please everyone, so you got to please yourself.
And we're back with more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson, along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. If you want to give us a call today, 888-344-1170 is the number. We would love to talk to you. Mums are starting to come in. We've gotten some of the cash pots in. Those are beautiful.
September, yes. Spectacular. And mums and pansies and violas and all of the
winter or fall. Winter
fall.
Color.
Fall.
Yeah. Fall color.
The flowers of fall are arriving.
Yes.
And fall vegetables are starting to come in now, too. The cool season stuff.
It's time to toss your old veggies and stuff
and replace. And
yes, it's time.
You know,
Yep.
When was it? I guess last weekend, Melly and I went up to, we went up to a winery in Escondido that we go to every once in a while. And it's off of Highland Valley Road and up right across the street from where Evergreen used to be, which is now the Big Tree Nursery, which I don't understand why Evergreen couldn't be there, but the Big Tree Nursery can be there. So I don't know what they did to change the runoff into the lake, but Pinery does a pumpkin patch there.
Okay.
And I think it was about 2 months ago, we went up there and there was nothing. I mean, it was just dirt. And I thought, oh, well, they must not be going to put the pumpkin patch in. And we drove up there last weekend and it's there. I mean, everything's growing. I mean, the corn's growing, the pumpkins are growing, the sunflowers, I mean, everything. And they're getting everything set up for it. But I couldn't believe how fast
stuff took off.
Yeah, because it was literally dirt. And then just boom, it's there.
Madeline. The kids from Madeline went to the pumpkin patch up at the Pinery. Do you remember that?
I must have been on that field trip.
Gotcha. Okay. It's a long time ago. But it was across. Yeah. They did the fall field trip from school.
Well, we went to it a couple of years ago just to check it because we didn't want to drive all the way up to.
Yeah.
Debates, yeah. Which is in itself is a
is
problematic.
Understood.
But they do a very, very nice job. Huh. It's if you don't want to go all the way up there, and it's not nearly as crazy as Bates is either.
Yes.
So if you want to do something a little bit more subdued, that's where I would recommend going. It's a very nice place.
As is Bates, but like you said,
yeah.
And
as you keep going out Highland Valley Road and you get to the Pinery, the number of racks for the living Christmas trees that they're getting ready to ship is unreal. I mean, it's just row after row after row all the way down Highland Valley Road. But then you sit there and you look at how many little Christmas trees that they have there at that growing yard. It's insane. And to think that they do that every year.
I know. It's got to be.
It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. So anyway, if you want to get out into some of the backcountry, that's actually a pretty nice drive from Palmerado Road up to Ramona.
And if you keep driving, you'll get to a winery, I hear.
Oh, there's a few of them up there.
Okay.
Yeah.
And they look out over San Pasqual Valley.
There's one that does, yeah.
And you can take the back road and go to Ramona if you want, right?
Yeah, just stay on Highland Valley. It'll take you right up to just about to the airport, I think. It ties in somewhere up around Ramona Airport.
And around the You Pick Persimmon place.
If you want to.
And the wildlife place. And
the wildlife place.
Yeah, there's some kind of a wildlife place you drive past on that. Up at the top, it's like a rescue center or something.
Oh, I don't think I ever drove past
that. Tigers and lions and
something
like
kind of like that. But
I thought that was out east.
Well, no, that is out east, but it's kind of like that.
Okay.
But I don't know what they have there. I just have driven past it many times.
Gotcha.
George found an interesting article last week. He was showing it to me, and it was about scale. And I didn't realize this, but there's one of the young stages of scale is a flying stage.
Yeah, the male in particular has wings, right?
But that explains how scale gets into your house on your house plants.
No, it can't. It had to come from the nursery.
So,
that lady was with you too.
All of us.
Yes, all of us.
Each of us.
Yes.
Yeah.
But that had never occurred to me before that there was a.
Well, you know
stage.
That they have crawling stages.
Yeah, that's what I thought it primarily was.
Right.
But I thought that was very interesting that there's a flying stage.
You know, just when you say the crawling stage, it reminds me, or we have the microscope and at work, microscope and screen. And so many people, when they actually see what's on their plants, are kind of startled or alarmed, and they step back, and then they think, oh my gosh, that was in the car with me on my way here, that was in my home. And it's like that every day, everywhere. But people don't think about it, and now it's in your face.
My favorite was a woman who had brought in some tomato leaves,
right?
And she had them in her shirt pocket, and she took them out and said, "You know, my leaves are yellow. There's something. I said, oh, it looks like spider mite." She goes, "I don't see any spiders on it." I said, "Well, they're tiny. Let me show you." And I placed it under the microscope, and then you see it enlarged on the monitor. She freaked out. She was like brushing her shirt. She's like, "Oh my God, that was in my pocket," and she was shaking So like David said, people are very surprised when they recognize. But that stuff's around us all day long, everywhere.
Yeah, and you put it under the microscope and there's
a few
of them.
Yeah.
Correct.
And it's like, oh my God.
Yeah. Maybe we could do that with dust mites and things for people in the future, just to make our big world a little bit closer. It's a little smaller for everybody.
It was a variety of scale that we hadn't seen before. And we were watching it and you could sit there and watch it and you could see the leg come out from underneath of it and move around, and it was it's somewhat unnerving sometimes what that microscope.
I hope I don't become unnerved by it. It's going to be very, very difficult. I mean, I have allergies and I have a bad career choice, but now if I become unnerved by
I think for some people, like I'll eat right off the plants.
Me too.
I'll take stuff and blow the dust off and eat it. But you're not blowing off the spider mites or the thrips or any of those other small.
Funny story. This morning I went and picked some grapes off of my grapevine, and it's dark out, but I have my flashlight and my grapes, and I blew the dust off of them. And when you have a flashlight and you blow the dust off of them, you can see how much dust was on there. But I did not look for any of the other crawling things or the spiders that were probably in there.
Spiders and ants.
And I didn't want to touch them, so I just held up the thing and ate them off of the
That was attractive.
Cluster.
I know people can't. Thank God it's radio. That was attractive the way you did
Well,
that.
The point of the story was the dust, watching the dust fly. And maybe there were the dust mites that were in there, too, so it was okay. Maybe not. You may continue, Mr. Anderson.
A couple of things that we had that I spotted coming into the nursery. We had some really nice 5-gallon hibiscus maschutas that came in, wine red color. Not the biggest flower I've seen on hibiscus maschutos, but The color was incredible. And for those of you that aren't familiar with Hibiscus machudos, it's in the mallow family, but it goes dormant in the wintertime. Right. It dies back down to the ground, but they'll grow 5 or 6 feet each season, and the flowers on them are the size are like dinner plates.
Dinner plates.
Right. Yeah,
like it's the color is
very, very intense.
I know it's only an ornamental, George, but do you happen to have one of those hibiscus?
I do.
And how did you get it?
Because it died back in the winter.
No, it was dead.
The customer brought it back because it was dead.
I love that.
It was dead. There was nothing there, but we knew better. And it's growing well. This year it didn't do as well because I put it in the ground for the first year. And so it's getting its feet wet, so to speak, and getting attached to the ground. But in the pot, the last several years, it has been, I think I showed you a photograph with a tape measure. It was a 10 or 11 inch flower on that dead plant.
That's something that you see in Ohio.
I mean, oh, really?
One is deciduous hibiscus. Yeah. Or that one dies back. But yeah, you see those in Ohio. It's a beautiful plant.
Yeah, it is. It is a very pretty plant. One that we had that we got in that I hadn't seen in a long time. We got some nice 5 gallon Brainias in.
Okay.
Snowbush. And this is about 20 years ago. That plant was so popular. It was incredible. Everybody was growing it. You could get it in all different sizes.
But that snowbush needs shade. It needs some special
sunlight,
care.
Yeah. Well, it can be a little bit tender.
It can take quite a bit if it has enough water.
Correct.
But it's better in filtered some. But wasn't it Ample that used to bring us dozens of those every week?
Yes.
And we'd sell through them as quickly as we can get them in.
Yep.
Yeah.
I remember going to the Disneyland Hotel, and they have them. They had them 20 years ago, whatever it was, 25 years ago. They had some big ones. But they're beautiful. Beautiful. But they were out in the full sun. I mean, they were protected by like a staircase a little bit, but they were beautiful.
Yeah,
that's gorgeous color.
First time we'd sell them as house plants. We'd sell them in the shade house. We sold tons of them.
Yes,
and then it just kind of faded in popularity, and now they're
nurseries
apparently coming back.
Yep.
So, but we have some nice 5 gallons in stock in the Poway store, and I don't know who they came from, but we had some. Had some princess flowers that came in that were just absolutely perfect. They're huge, huge foliage on them. No salt burn yet.
Yeah.
If you don't know what princess flowers are, it's a tibuchina, and they have probably the deepest color purple flower that I've ever seen on anything.
And soft velvety leaves.
Very soft.
Yeah.
Very
the zoo has velvety. Some beautiful specimens. And actually, Widener's, when we had the dig your own begonias, when he called in, and Capri and I went up there, and they have a beautiful princess flower in full sun.
Oh, yeah.
It's the coast.
Yeah.
It's spectacular.
Yeah, it is. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with more right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
Roses are red, my love. Violets are blue. Sugar is sweet, my love, but not as sweet as you.
And we're back with more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson, along with David Ross and Mark Mahady and George Allman. you know, talking about sweetest sugar, I was telling Blake about CNH sugar.
Oh, CNH. Yeah.
When I was a kid, that's what it was CNH, and it was always, they always filmed it in Hawaii.
Yes.
And it was pure cane sugar from Hawaii. And they, if you go on YouTube, you can actually search for CNH commercials, and you can see some of them. And I was showing them to him. He was completely unimpressed. But I just remember as a kid, that's one of the things that made me want to go to Hawaii was the CNH sugar commercials. And now there is no sugar cane grown in Hawaii at all. It's complete. That industry is completely gone.
Wow.
But I remember the first time I went over there, which was 1979, I think. There was still tons of sugar cane being grown on all the islands. I mean, it was all over the place. And then over the years, it just slowly shrank down until the last sugar processing plant was on Maui, down by the airport, and then that shut down a few years ago. So it's the whole thing is gone. It's kind of crazy.
It really is.
Kind of crazy.
Want me to sing?
No.
CNH commercial?
No.
All right.
If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. We did touch on the fact that it is time for fall vegetables.
Yes.
Now's the time to start thinking about what you want to put in. But before you put it in, there's stuff that you should probably do to your garden to get it prepped. And first thing is get all your summer stragglers out.
Take all those tomatoes that are covered in spider mites out.
Yeah,
take ours are covered in spider mites this year.
Yeah, just get all that stuff out. Amend it. Put in some new compost, some soil booster. Mix that all in. Add some calcium to the soil. You can use gypsum, and put some fertilizer into the soil. Mix some Grow Power tomato and vegetable food. And a pro tip for that is anything that you're going to put into the soil, put everything on top of the soil and then mix it in. Don't do it one at a time.
I mean, you can do it any way you want, but the pro tip is it's
an easy way to do it.
Correct.
It gets everything in there. It gets it all in there with one fell swoop.
Exactly.
So what are some plants? You said time for your fall or winter. What are things that grow in the winter?
Most of your leaf crops will do very well in the wintertime.
Root crops.
All the roots, right?
Snap peas. Good time to put snap peas in. There, you could probably still get a crop of tomatoes in if you want to put in some winter tomatoes.
Yes.
You don't have the selection of tomatoes that you do.
Correct. During the springtime. Yeah.
But you still get some stuff in. What else is there? That's good. A lot of the herbs are still okay.
All the brassicas.
Yeah, yeah. So broccoli, cauliflower,
cabbages,
kales,
bok choy. Brussels sprouts are good, but I found it very difficult to keep the aphids at bay more than anything else.
That's the truth.
Yeah, I don't know how they do that commercially.
It is a difficult task.
Well, I know when you mentioned the root crops, you mentioned, I think, carrots, but there's some other root crops that you can be planting now.
You mean like parsnips?
And rutabagas.
And rutabagas.
But I was thinking one in particular. What was that, Mr. Mahady?
It would be beets.
Beets, yes. The universal superfood, right? That everybody likes.
We were going to harvest some yesterday. We didn't, so maybe tonight we'll have beets with dinner.
It is time to plant those. And the sweet peas, the flowering ones, not the edible ones.
You said Labor Day to, you want them for
and we
Christmas?
Got, we have them in Poway. We just got a bunch of the new seeds in for the sweet peas.
Assuming we do too, but I don't know that. We always have, typically.
We need more water, because if I had more water, I would plant a whole lot more stuff.
I was going to sing another song, I had some water, but I don't think that's how the song goes.
If you want to give us a call today, 888-344-1170 is the number. We're going to go to the phones. We're going to talk to Claire from the San Diego Iris Society. Good morning, Claire. How are you?
Great. How are you doing today?
We're doing well. What's going on?
Well, I heard you talking about fall plantings, and this is the time to be planting iris rhizomes.
Yes, it is.
So the San Diego Iris Society is having a rhizome sale today and tomorrow from 10 to 4 p.m. today, tomorrow, in room 101 in the Casa del Prado building in Balboa Park.
Outstanding.
And we, it is. I mean, it really is. I shouldn't be so exuberant about the whole thing, but I really am.
Nothing wrong with enthusiasm.
We'll have tall bearded irises, and then we'll have some Spurria, Louisianas, and Arrowbreds. So not just the tall, fluffy ones that people have in their gardens, but we have others. The Spurrias are 3 to 5 feet tall.
Oh, wow.
And their nickname is called a butterfly iris because the whole top of the clump will be covered with these fluttery flowers that are just gorgeous. They've become one of my favorites because they're so lovely. You never have to dig them up. In the summer, they die back, so you don't have to water them in the summer. And right now, they're just beginning to peak up their little green leaves. So start watering them and fertilizing them now. And then by April or so, then you'll just see this big cloud of flowers on the top of the Spurrias. They're gorgeous. But we'll have a few of those for sale. Yeah. Then we'll have some Louisiana irises. They're the water irises. They need to be grown in water or some really wet soil or where you have a leak in your water pipe, something like that.
it's funny because really people are always asking. Yeah, I have a spot that stays wet all the time, and they're always looking for plants. So that's interesting.
Yeah,
that would be a really good one. And they're just as colorful as the tall beardeds.
Yeah, they are pretty. Dan Carlin used to grow them.
Yeah.
We would get them in from him. The big flowers, big plants, really, really nice plant.
Yeah, perfect for a wet spot.
Okay.
And now we're going to have go ahead.
I was going to, and it's from 10 to 4, you said?
Yes, 10 to 4, today and tomorrow Balboa Park. Yep.
And there are very few things that are as easy to grow and do as well in the garden with limited resources as bearded iris do.
That's true.
And now is the time to get them. And you'll have dozens and dozens. Do you have an idea of how many different varieties and color combos you're going to have of iris there?
We probably have close to 70 varieties.
Wow.
In years past, we've had probably 200. But this year, we're just going to sort of start slowly after the COVID business.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
The nice thing is we're going to have this really nice variety of irises, the Spurria, Louisianas, as well as the tall bearded.
Going to have to – you're getting some coaching there?
I sure am. He's telling me that it's a bargain, and that's true. They are pretty inexpensive, let's say. The bare rhizomes that don't rebloom are $5 a piece or 4 for $20. And then we have some that rebloom. They bloom twice in a year, so you get twice as many flowers. They're really nice, and they're a little more expensive. They're $8 a piece or 3 for $20.
And they will grow and increase if you take minimal care of them. You'll have more plants than you planted. And the Spurria, though, I'm not familiar. I'm going to have to look into that.
I'm not familiar with that one either.
Sounds interesting.
Yeah.
You don't dig them up. They don't like to be disturbed.
Right.
So once you put them, you find a place for them, some place for something tall, because they can be as tall as 5 feet.
Okay.
So, yeah, in the back of the garden. Yeah. And then at the end, I think it was in July or August, I go through and cut them off right near the ground like you would corn stalks. You just cut them right off near the ground and then just leave them all summer long. They're the perfect iris. You don't have to really do anything to them.
That's what it sounds like.
Fertilize them, yeah. Well, you come down there and I'll hand you 2 free ones just to try them out. What do you think?
All right.
Outstanding.
All right.
And we have this recorded, so you can't back out now.
I'll bring the podcast with me.
Yes. We should probably limit that to everybody or just us?
No, just you guys.
Okay, just want to make sure. So, I wanted to clarify that on air so that you weren't overrun.
Yeah. All right, Claire, thank you very much for the call, and good luck with the sale this weekend.
Thank you very much.
Okay, take care.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye now. If you'd like to give us a call today, 888-344-1170 is the number.
Long-time San Diegans, does Casa de Prado have any other room besides 101?
Yeah, yes, but
everything is done.
But nothing happens in the other room.
Everything is in room 101.
Back office
everything
happens everywhere else. Yeah. That's the same. That's the room where the
rooms, I imagine.
Where the Christmas on the Prado is, right? That's 101.
Yeah.
That's the room.
Well,
that's
the important room. Held there.
It is the room. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with more right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
Small and white, clean and bright, you look happy to meet.
And we're back with more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. You know, talking about bearded iris, I remember people would say, people would buy them and they would say, well, you know, I planted it and they didn't flower. Well, what can happen, from what I understand over the years, is that you can bury the rhizome and the plant will grow, but they won't flower. They like to have the back of the rhizome on the surface.
Exposed, slightly exposed, right.
Yeah, slightly exposed. So when you plant them, just plant the roots. Don't plant the whole thing in the. Don't cover the whole thing with dirt. Just cover the roots.
Planted one a couple of years ago, and the thing is, I mean, it's huge.
Gotten
it's
big.
Beautiful. Oh, yeah. It's exploded. Well, I had it in a pot, and it did okay. Mm-hmm. Put it in the ground, and the thing just took off. It
just grows like crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah,
beautiful, beautiful flowers.
No, the flowers are really spectacular. So if you have a chance and you want to go see some, stop by Casa del Prado.
Variety they're going to have there is going to be extraordinary.
Because we had
stuff
about,
you can't get. Yeah, yeah. I mean, we can't get.
We had what, maybe 10 or 15 varieties.
Yeah, we might have gotten a few more than that, but it's not nearly
not going to be like what they have down there.
I'm thinking of what my schedule is like for tomorrow and how I'm going to get down there.
Yeah. I would recommend driving.
That part's easy.
Okay.
Yeah, we should get some.
I remember one time going to I believe it was the East County Iris Society, and they had dozens and dozens of varieties. And I think because we're in the business and we see what comes through, that we are familiar with so many of them.
Yes.
But it was didn't even scratch the surface of what they had there. And this is going to be similar, not even similar. It'll be greater than that. And the number of different varieties and the color combos that you can get is extraordinary.
Well, the Louisiana iris.
Those are gorgeous.
They're
you don't
beautiful.
See them, like you said, you don't see them anymore. I mean, Dan's gone now, and
yeah, no, they're beautiful. Oh, they're really
heck
pretty.
Out of those, yes.
Yeah, we used to and big containers
yeah,
too,
big 15 like 15 gallons.
15 gallons. Yeah, 15. Yeah. Who needs a 15 gallon iris?
Yeah, you know,
but we sold everyone we could get in.
We sold them all. You know what's another really pretty iris? The native one, is it Douglasii?
Yeah, Douglasii. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a really pretty plant. And when I would take the kids up to June Lake in the summertime, you'd get out into the backcountry up there, and there's just fields of them. I mean, just fields of blue when they were in bloom.
Yeah.
Really, really.
One
great.
Gallon cans doesn't do them justice.
No, people don't understand
it. Yeah,
they're ugly.
Yeah,
the plants, the foliage.
Yes,
when
exactly.
At this time of the year, they don't look like much, but knowing
but
what
they
will do
in the springtime,
it's hard to explain that to people. I guess with.
But that's
internet,
what I think. That's with most
up.
Of our. I mean,
well, that
you know,
is
and
true.
I go back to the ornamental trees we were talking about earlier. You know, you bring a person outside and show them the. peppermint tree, peppermint right. willow or something, and they look at it, or even a podocarpus, and you say, this is going to be a beautiful canopy tree. It's going to provide shade. And they look at you and go, this little stick, this, you know, so you just, you can't imagine it.
Yeah, again, I try to think, okay, have you driven to Claremont or whatever? It's like those big trees up there. That's what this is, except.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not there yet.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's hard. It is very hard to, and my words don't paint very good pictures. So yeah, it's.
Well, Brian's going to paint good pictures today for his ornamental class. So there's a segue for that.
I see where you went there.
Well, that's why
it's the truth. I mean, again, you can try to explain it, but.
Well, that's why when we're talking to people at customer service, we have the ornamental trees book and the street trees book, and you can, because if you just go out and show somebody a 5-gallon Agonis,
it doesn't look like much.
It doesn't look like much at all.
But no, I wanted a shade tree, sir.
You open up the book and show them what that tree looks like in canopy, and they walk away with two of them because they're gorgeous, or any of those ornamentals. Right.
And on a similar but different note, we finally heard back from the San Diego County Native Plant Book. People.
We did.
And so both stores will have fresh supplies of San Diego County Native books in the next week or two.
Is that
that John Leitner's book?
Yes.
Right.
Yes. That's an excellent book.
It is.
And now that I've been spending more time in the backcountry, I may have to get one and see what I'm actually coming
see what
across.
You're actually, yeah,
instead I of know. Texting Shirley.
All the time. What's this, Shirley?
Yep.
Yes. Southern Pacific rattlesnake.
Well, I have to admit, I've gotten a more keen interest in natives over the past few years.
Yes.
And we used to talk well.
They don't do a lot for me because they do look kind of, you know, chaparral-esque, but there are a handful that are gorgeous.
Yes. Well, absolutely.
And a lot of times people don't think about them other than in the back country during the summer when they are not looking their best. But if you put them in your garden and water them on occasion, only as directed by a doctor or pharmacist, they look much better than that.
It's the truth. And I'm one person that would always badmouth natives. I mean, back in the day, you know, it's like, why would you want to do it? But yes.
And you still do, right? But not as much.
My appreciation has definitely gone up with Kenny.
All right. Knuckles.
Well, you know, the other thing that I found too, because I planted a big butterfly and hummingbird garden in the backyard, and I put in a bunch of native salvias and things like that. And then when they don't get enough water, they just look terrible. But if you give them a little bit of water all the time, they look outstanding.
It's the truth.
Yeah. That one salvia that I planted, I can't remember. I think it might be Bee's Bliss.
Bee's Bliss, the
ground cover?
Yeah.
Oh, it's beautiful. And it lays, it's not more than a foot tall anywhere. And it just looks spectacular. It's a really,
and as a native,
really
how often are you watering that?
Oh, they get a little bit of water a couple times a week. Okay. So I could cut back on it, but the more you cut back on it,
the drier it looks.
Yeah. So
I do one about once a month. Maybe a little bit less, and it still looks good. But watching the progression in our hills when they go from like they look now, which is awful,
dormant,
then we have some rain, and then into the spring when they're covered with bees and insects and everything's the foliage is, I was going to say green, but most of it is
gray, green, or silver.
But and then they're blooming and everything's blooming, and then watching the progression it's interesting. It's very, very interesting. And I got it was a Bee's Bliss that I put in. It's right alongside my driveway where my driveway meets the neighbor's horse corral. So it's very dry and dusty over there. And the soil is very loose. And maybe once a month I watered it. And it has maintained its color and appearance. It has not gone into crinkly, wrinkly gray.
Yeah, natives.
Natives and
again,
you know, we could
back in the day we didn't really get any natives either.
No, there wasn't that much.
The variety we have right now is incredible. Yeah.
Today is the 20th anniversary of the September 11th attack in New York, Washington D.C. and Pennsylvania. We would be remiss to not mention that and remember those that were lost. There really are no words to describe what happened, other than never forget. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. We'll be back next week with another hour.
Where were you when the world stopped turning on that September day? Were you in the yard with your wife and children, or working on some stage in L.A.? Did you stand there in shock at the sight of that black smoke rising against that blue sky? Did you shout out in anger and fear for your neighbor, or did you just sit down and cry? Did you weep for the children who lost their dear loved ones, pray for the ones who don't know? Did you rejoice for the people who walked from the rubble and sobbed for the ones left below? Did you burst out with pride for the red, white, and blue and the heroes who died just doing what they do? Did you look up to heaven for some kind of answer and look at yourself and what really matters? I'm just a singer of simple songs. I'm not a real political man. I watch CNN, but I'm not sure I can tell you the difference in Iraq and Iran. But I know Jesus and I talk to God, and I remember this from when I was young. Faith, hope, and love are some good things He gave us. Greatest is love.
This program is sponsored by Walter Anderson Nursery.